This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Well, now more than any other Sunday, I think this greeting is appropriate. Good morning. You made it. I am sure somewhere along the line you have heard of the Edwin Markham story called The Builder. And as I start to tell you, perhaps you will recall it. It's the story of a rich man who wanted to do something to help someone. And so he found that there was this poor carpenter with a large family. And so he went to that poor carpenter and said to him, "I would like for you to build a house. I would like you to build this house using the best materials possible. I want you to do everything first class, and I don't care what it costs. And by the way, I have to leave for a long time, and I'd like that house to be finished when I get back." And so, sure enough, the man leaves, and the carpenter starts to think, "I'm poor. I can make a killing on this deal by cutting corners." And so he hires a bunch of laborers, pays them low wages. They're not really good at what they do. They're not skilled professionals. He uses cheap materials in the building of the house and thinks, "Wow, am I going to make money on this deal?" Well, the rich man eventually comes back. The carpenter hands him to the keys to the house. And then the rich man takes those keys and gives them right back to the poor carpenter and says, "This house is for you." And for the rest of his life, the poor carpenter regretted not doing the best that he could have done. An amazing story that I think gets at the heart of what Jesus is talking about in the gospel today. Isn't it amazing at the end of this gospel that after all of this Sermon on the Mount teaching that Jesus has given, they say, "And they were astounded by his teaching." Why? Because he taught with authority, not like the scribes. There was something about Jesus' teaching because his deeds matched his words, and there was an interior motivation that just must have exuded from him that they knew he was for real. He didn't just quote scripture at them or quote what different rabbis had taught, but he teaches on his own word. And he teaches just like he did last week, giving us very common sense metaphors and similes and stories that we can understand that make sense. And so, just like last week, he gave us that prescription, the pill we talked about at some of the other services. That if you want a pill that's going to take care and reduce your risk of heart attack, heart disease, stomach ulcers, colds, flus, all kinds of things, the pill we need to take is what Jesus told us last week. Stop worrying. Why? Because if there is any single person who can prove that they added a single minute to their life by worrying, then show me that person. It does no good. So he gave us that prescription last week. Well, now this week, I think he gives us the wellness plan. Now he gives us, just like we were going to a physical wellness plan, they would tell us, "Well, eat this, don't eat this. You need to exercise this many times and do this kinds of exercises. Do this therapy because it'll help you to stay and get better and remain healthy." Last week, we talked about worry. There's two things that come out of this that help us with today's gospel. There are things that we can change. Well, we shouldn't worry about them. We should change them. There are things we worry about that we can't change, that we have no control over. Jesus says, don't worry about those things either. Why? Because God is in control. Because God is in charge. That song that we sing, "He's got the whole world in his hands." We don't sing, "I've got the whole world." in my hands. It is God. God is in control. And so it becomes for us the call to make Jesus as a rock. There is an incredible story that C.S. Lewis tells in his own life, one of the great Christian writers of all time. And he wrote a book called A Grief Observed. He writes that book after he had lost his beloved wife of many years. And in the book, he experienced a loneliness that he talks about, the likes of which he had never known. He tried to reason to himself that he had been happy before he had been married and that he could once again reclaim that happiness. And he writes these words: "You never know how much you believe anything until its truth or falsehood becomes a matter of life or death to you. I realized that if my house collapsed with this one mighty blow, the loss of his wife, my house was indeed a house of cards." Well, he endured that storm, that loss, because he discovered that he had built his life on the rock of his faith. What Jesus is telling us today gets at the very root of who we are and who we're called to be. The reason that we develop our spiritual practices and habits and everything else, not just because it helps us in our daily lives, but because that day will come for all of us when we will find that everything else means nothing. We will lose a relationship. We will lose a job. We will lose the meaning in our life, but there will be one thing that we can always hang on to, and that is the rock of faith that enables us to be who we are. You know, we're getting ready to do this incredible capital expansion here at this church. The Narthex expansion you'll be hearing about is going to be happening very soon. The parish hall and the office spaces behind it as well after that. And as part of all this, Rick Filer reported to the vestry that we have to do these soil borings, meaning they have to take samples of the soil in all the places where we're going to build. Why do they do that? Because you have to be able to show that the soil is strong enough to support the building you're going to put on top of it. Makes sense. I don't want my office falling into the ground eventually. Well, it's so true, just like Jesus is saying with our spiritual life. What are we rooting ourselves? What are we building our lives upon? And we would be wise to choose that which is going to enable us to endure anything and everything. And that is in our relationship with Christ. We went down to the Dominican Republic on our mission trip. And just to take this metaphor one further step, when we were doing the work down there, one of the teams was building the wall around the bakery to be in the church. And they had to go out and buy all of this metal rods. And you put the metal rods, it's called rebar, into all of the concrete, surround it with cement, because it helps to hold the whole thing together. It makes it strong. Jesus is the rebar of our lives. Now, I found this example that I think is so cool. There's a man by the name of Louis Giglio. He's from Atlanta, Georgia. He's a preacher. He's been on TV. He's on the web. Well, he was getting ready to preach a sermon recently on talking about how fearfully and wonderfully we are made. It's a corollary to what we're talking about today. And as preachers often are wont to do, he sat and he thought and he prayed and just nothing was coming to him as an approach to take. And lo and behold, the Holy Spirit sends a man to him who just happens to ask the question, "What you going to preach about this Sunday?" "Well, we're going to talk about the human body, how fearfully and wonderfully we are made, but I'm not sure what to do with it." And the man says — he's a molecular biologist, by the way, the man he meets — and he says, "I'm going to tell you one word, laminin." "Laminin," he says. "What the heck is laminin?" And the man says, "Go Google it and look it up and you'll understand." So he goes home, and Louis looks up laminin. And he finds that laminin is a protein, the basic building blocks of the body. It has a distinctive shape, giving it the ability to adhere easily to other laminin molecules and thus producing sheets of protein. These long, strong sheets of laminin molecules are essentially the glue, the stuff that holds us together. Now, with that as an introduction, I would like to share with you a couple minutes of when he shared with his congregation what laminin is all about.
Here is a scientific diagram of the laminin cell adhesion molecule that's holding your body together right now, okay? This is what I found right here. No, come on, that's crazy. That's just crazy. I just can't believe it. I emailed that guy back so fast, I'm like, wow, what in the world? He said, you want to see an actual laminin molecule? I'm like, oh no, man, the diagram was cool for me. I'm happy with that. Don't bother sending anything else. I'm like, yes! And he sends me this image, an electron microscopic image of an actual laminin protein molecule. It looks just like this. I'm like, how crazy is that? That the stuff that holds our bodies together, that's holding the lining of your organs together, holding your skin on, is in the perfect shape of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately I'm thinking about the words of Paul in Colossians 1. You know this beautiful passage where Paul's talking about the supremacy of Christ and the sufficiency of Christ. He says, for by him, talking about Jesus Christ, all things have been created, things in heaven and things on earth. All things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. But then the next verse goes on to say this, it's crazy. And he, Jesus, is before all things, and in him, that is in Jesus Christ, all things hold together. It's right there. I'm like, of course they do. Of course they do. Everything holds together in Jesus Christ. And he goes on at the end of this paragraph, and he just tells the story of grace. He says, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Christ, and through Christ to reconcile to himself all things by making peace through his blood shed on a cross.
Whether or not that molecular structure is a coincidence, I myself think not. But for us, Christ is that which holds us together, that which gives us to be like Jesus and live as people of authority, matching deeds with words, with integrity in the way we live. I'd like to end the sermon today with a little poem that I ran across some years ago that continues to hold meaning for me, by R.L. Sharp. Isn't it strange that princes and kings and clowns that caper in sawdust rings and common people like you and me are builders for eternity? Each is given a bag of tools, a shapeless mass, a book of rules, and each must make ere life is flown a stumbling block or a stepping stone. Amen.